Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you, my friend, want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available on the Podbean app. If you follow us on the Podbean app, we have every single show ever released on that platform. You'll also get all of your favorite shows like Fresh Air, WTF with Marc Maron, ID10T, The Michelle Obama Podcast. All podcasts available there, and you can also access over 1,000 How Did I Get Here episodes. So, download the Podbean app from your app store and start listening today. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I had a pretty good week, man. If you listen to the show, you know that I took Rosie to Houston on Sunday and dropped her off to spend the week there because I have a pretty busy week this week, or had a pretty busy week this week. Some skyrocket gigs and stuff and some long rehearsals. Anyway, I left Rosie there for the week, and I miss her so much. It's crazy. I miss playing with her. I miss snuggling with her. I miss walking with her. I miss talking to her. I just miss her being around, man. I do. It's terrible. So I'm going back on Sunday. I'll spend the week there helping take care of my grandma, so it should be great. Get reacquainted with Rosie. I miss her so, so much. Anyway, I do hope you guys have had a good week. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Mark Shawn from the band Blackheart Saints returns to the show today. On Wednesday, they released the single Lonely is the Night, a cover of a Billy Squire song. They did a single and a video. The song was recorded and produced by Omar Vallejo, the great Omar Vallejo, who does all of the Blackheart Saints work. And the video, which is fantastic, you got to check it out, was directed by Taylor Fredericks. Now, I haven't talked to Mark in a couple years. I've seen him in passing, but I haven't talked to him in a couple years. And he's a good friend of mine. And I was wondering what was going on with Blackheart Saints. And a lot has been going on, man. Those guys are always making new music. We talk about the controversy of when they went to Sturges in the summer of 2020. I don't know if you remember that, but people kind of freaked out a little bit on them for going there and playing the show. But hey, man, what are you going to do? You got to work, right? Don't really hold it against them. Anyway, you can see this video, check out this song by going to blackheartsaintsmusic.com. The other thing that we have a really great talk about, not just what they've been doing for the last couple of years, how they got through the pandemic, recording this Billy Squire song, why they recorded this Billy Squire song, is that Mark Shawn is a web developer, and he has gotten into Web3. I don't know if you remember during South by Southwest, I served on a panel about Web3, which I still didn't really understand at that point. But Mark does a really great job of explaining Web3 and NFTs, non-fungible tokens. And Blackheart Saints actually have a website on Web3 called blackheartsaints.xyz. So you can get out there and check that out, and you can get a free limited edition NFT from them. Okay, I'm still not quite sure what that is. They won Best Rock Metal in the Austin Music Awards. They're one of Rolling Stone's artists you need to watch. Mark and I have a great conversation about their music, about who they are as a band, and what they've been up to the last couple of years, and of course, Web3 and NFTs. All right, so without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented and super cool Mark Shawn from the band Blackheart Saints. Let's get down.
Lonely is the night when you find yourself alone. Your demons come to light and your mind is not your own. Lonely is the night when there's no one left to call. You feel the time is right, so the writer's on the wall.
Alright, so your version of Lonely is the Night is great.
Oh, thank you.
For some reason, I didn't get to see the whole video. I only got to see the preview.
So the video is going to be out. I can actually show it to you. Okay. Between the two of us. But it's going to be out next week on the 22nd.
And who's the guy that did it?
Taylor Fredericks.
Okay.
Yeah. He's our good buddy who's done all the videos
we've
done in the past for us. So
it's funny because, like, I mean, obviously my Uncle Jack is like Blackheart. It's funny because him and Eddie Trunk have the same sort of like need. Like, I need a new rock band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He's very aligned. Like, he listens to the Trunk podcast and stuff like that. And then I saw that he was talking you guys up at a show.
He was. So Eddie Trunk, he was actually at the Houston show. He played with Ace Frehley at Warehouse Live.
I'm so jealous.
Well, it was a great night. It was a great show. So, I don't know if you know John Escamilla, who's a promoter there. Well, he ended up, like, the guy who put together the show, the promoter, he actually passed away a few days after that, which is kind of a surprise to everybody. But he helped put that together, get us on Eddie Trunk's radar, and we gave him some merch and stuff, or he asked for some merch, and he's been a great supporter so far. So
he's like, yeah, give me some merch, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's like, I'll wear a shirt. He loves to wear band shirts.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of his. Like, I listen to a show sometimes, and I used to watch that metal show like religiously.
That was a great show.
Yeah, I think I watched every episode at least once.
Oh yeah, you got Jim Florentine on there, and the other guy. But
how was that show with Ace?
It's pretty good, man. It was I don't think we had played Houston in such a long time, and that's always a great great rock city. You know, it's just a great place to for rock and roll fans.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one thing I noticed in going through your stuff, you guys, like, you don't mess with Austin very much, which is, it's kind of like there is a time. You're using Austin exactly as you should, and I don't mean it bad, like, but there's this thing where, like, you know, I mean, you know, there's the, people can get stuck in a thing, you know, and bands that end up really doing well are guys that get their shit together here and then go play other places.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make a living. You're not going to do anything just hanging out.
Well, that's kind of the thought behind that, is a lot of people will overplay Austin, and, you know, they'll play here more than once a week sometimes, and that's just something that nobody's going to want to come pay to see you, and you're not going to be able to build value, I think.
Exactly right. Sorry, I've got to take all these things away. So do you guys have management, or does Omar kind of like...
So funny enough, we're right in the process of finally getting some professional management involved. This guy, John Gomez, who has kind of been in the rock circle. He works with, like, not just rock bands, but he actually manages Chris Pettis, Selena's ex. So he's involved with him, but he's taken an interest in the band, and we're going to be working on with him with a couple projects. So
that's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, for sure.
Yeah, but you guys have really just done a lot, like, on your own. I mean, you've opened for all these huge bands.
Yeah,
you've been on tours. You have this huge, like, you've charted in fucking Billboard.
It's taken a lot of time, a lot of persistence. You know, you had the pandemic came along, and we still, you know, soldiered through that. Found different ways to keep.
Did you do?
Well, we launched something called BHS TV, which is like a short-term project that was like almost like a Netflix for people that wanted to pay, like, you know, $3 a month, and then we provide them access to exclusive videos that you wouldn't be able to find on YouTube. That was one thing that we did.
Almost like a Patreon kind of thing?
Kind of like a Patreon thing, but kind of just more something that, since, you know, I have a background in web development, and so I was able to make my own website, and I have to pay Patreon their fee to do that. So that was one thing we did. And then, got a COVID relief grant too. That helped to get us through the time.
For the band?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, as a business. So, yeah. A lot of people were able to take advantage of that.
So
Yeah.
Skyrocket was able to do that, but I thought you had to be like, you guys, you just have your shit together.
Because
you do have to have your shit together to get one of those.
Exactly.
You can't just fucking like, hey, I'm poor, give me some dough.
Yeah, you have to, if you have a business, you know, we have an LLC, and that helps, you know, make yourself look more legit. So I would advise all bands to do that. So
yeah. Well, also, you know, in sort of the world that we live in now, in a litigious world that we live in, those LLCs can keep you from personally getting there's a riot at your show or some fucking buffoon gets shot or something. Like, who fucking knows anymore?
Yeah, everybody's very lawsuit happy, and you know how expensive it is to be on the road.
Yeah,
I mean, this is one of the hardest industries. I tell everybody to make a single dollar in, because if your costs are like 90% of the revenue is eaten up by your costs, and then you have, you know, you take that little remainder after that.
Well, then we've had this painful irony where we couldn't make money off of our music without going out and performing it for people, and then this thing came and killed everything. And now that we're able to get back out, gas is fucking $5 a gallon. So it makes it virtually impossible to...
Yeah, it does. I mean, I put together this tour that's coming up in July. We're going to the Midwest. We're going to play some festivals in Michigan and Indiana. But, you know, it's been hard to... I'm looking at the spreadsheet and looking at my estimated gas. And then, you know, hotel costs are going up too. You can't really... You know, everything's just going up. So it's becoming... And the guarantees are not quite going up at the same rate. So
no, that's the bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys did a great fucking job with Lonely as a Night. You really did. So have you, what's your connection to that song?
You know, it just always been a favorite of mine on rock radio. It's one of those old, I think it came out in 1982 was the original version, but
yeah,
I just saw an opportunity with, you know, the way Josh sings. I think that that fit his voice well enough,
right.
And we gave it a little more of a modern production behind it.
Yeah, you did.
Omar has some of these little ideas that he's always challenging us. He's like, "You try this, try," and we always, you know, indulge him, even if some of it doesn't work. A lot of times it does, and he's like the fifth Beatle in that respect.
So. Yeah, I mean, how long have you guys been working with him as long as you've been a band?
Since the beginning, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How long have you guys been a band?
We started this band in 2014. So. Okay. Yeah, it's
damn.
Been a long, yeah, I know.
Yeah, 8 years
that's
already.
That's what it takes. I mean,
you guys really have ascended. I mean, look at, you know, I mean, it's not, this isn't an easy thing to do, especially now, and doing it yourself. And the sort of like levels that you guys have achieved are kind of like, it's almost like you could do seminars on like, out there and do this shit, you know?
Maybe that's another way I can make some money, because a lot of that doesn't
Well, you know, money, but... dude, they have those guest consultants at Austin Music Foundation, and we're going to have a meeting that I will definitely be like, hey, man, you should have Mark come in, because this guy fucking can do shit.
I'm down. I'm down to help out and try to you know, be a voice with that. So,
and, I mean, not only are I mean, there's such a weird sort of like... relationship now with fans and music and bands. It's not kind of the same like what we grew up thinking it was going to be.
Well, I mean, even just music, you know, as a commodity, people just don't, the hard thing is that we have to get over the fact that people don't value songs as much as they used to, you know. I mean, because it's just easy to hey, I'll throw on Spotify, let me just check out that new release, and people don't think about everything that went into that to get that release onto Spotify. You know, you got album artwork, you gotta pay a distributor, you gotta, you know, record it, you know, for one. So that's
the Omar Vallejo is not free, baby.
No, he's not. That man hustle. You know what? I gotta give it to him. Like, he is one of the most hustling, hardest working guys. Like, just his hand, he's in all kinds of stuff, you know? So.
All three of those brothers are like that.
Yeah, all three of them have the hustle, and that's why they are where they are today.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still with us.
And they have, you know, they've managed to pull off longevity, too, as a band. I mean, they just had, didn't they sell out Antones a couple week ago or something?
Yeah, they're playing, and they just played the Rail House and Kyle. I got to see that show, and it was just a packed night with Del Castillo was there as well. So it's cool, like Latin rock sort of thing going on.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Lonely is the Night.
Yeah.
Awesome. The opening.
Yeah.
That thing is fucking awesome. And then the whole deal, like, is like that song just fucking, I love Billy Squire. I love those two records.
You know, what's a funny side note, I was able to get a hold of Billy Squire's management because I wanted to let him know that, hey, we're, you know, doing a cover of your song and want to see, you know, what you might think. And because sometimes, you know, there could be opportunities for, you know, if you're covering somebody, they can make some money and we can make some money. So, I mean, I sent it off to his management, haven't heard anything yet. So that's like, you know, who knows what he thinks about it. I'm sure he got to listen to it, but But I've heard that, you know, so that could, I don't know where that is, but.
Have you ever had that? Have you ever heard someone do one of your songs?
You know, it's got to be, yeah, if I put myself in that position, it's got to be kind of a weird thing, huh?
I've never been impressed with that person. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, there used to be these things at Antone's called Austin Does Austin, like 20 years ago. And I thought about this too, because I played it, and I remember playing this Spoon song, and it went on Austin Music Network, and they played it all the time, like 4 times a day of me doing the Spoon song. And I kept on going, like, God, I'm a Brit. Like, if he sees this, is he like, oh, fuck. This guy's destroying my song. But I was talking to Einar about this last night, like, as we played at Antone's, and we were talking about that Austin Does Austin, and he goes, do you remember? There was a bunch of bands covering our songs. And that was super flattering. There was like 4 bands that were doing a song of ours, which was so fucking flattering, except for the fact that they were just so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath.
And I don't know if they were bad, but you're like, that's my, you're fucking my child.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, somebody like Prince, he was notorious for, you know, just shitting on everybody that tried to cover his stuff, I think.
Do you know what though? I'm on a compilation.
Oh, really?
That's like Austin Does Prince. And he gave, he gave the thumbs up on it.
Oh, that's yeah, that's...
That was a weird thing. Like, the purple one said it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something to be... Yeah, because usually I've heard he's, you know, he hates covers and all that stuff, so... But
so weird, because he's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's not here to get on us anymore.
That's right, yeah.
I love... you know, not that I love that he died, that was what I wanted to say. But, like, man, like, during the pandemic, they would show all this cool shit. Like, they had that New Year's Eve show from Paisley Park from, like, 1988 or something, or 89. It's mm-hmm. fucking awesome. Like, what a great performer.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Okay, so let's get back. I feel like if I get into this talk that I want to get into about Web3, I don't know if we'll pull out. But you guys have a Web3 website. Now, can you explain... I had it explained to me that the first Web 1 is the internet that we had.
Yes. So, and
And then Web 2, just tell me if I'm right. Web 2 is people taking your information and using it.
Mm-hmm.
The social medias,
Facebook, Google,
yeah. Everything. And now Web 3.
So Web 3 is the theme with Web 3 is ownership. That's right. The next level. And what allows you to have this ownership now is the blockchain. So
the blockchain, that's exactly right.
So for people that are not familiar, I'm not going to go into all the details, but basically it's a way to create a permanent record of something.
Right.
And nobody can say anything different. So, you know, even like with your bank today, you know, like, I mean, you know, you keep your money in the bank and I mean, your bank could potentially manipulate those numbers. I mean, not to say that they do, but it's not publicly accessible, you know, just your bank controls it and hope for the best. Well, with the blockchain, everything, you know, whether it's a record of ownership, let's say you own a house deed or a piece of property, or let's say you have a certain amount, you know, of money sitting around. Well, that's all publicly referenceable. So anybody can look it up and say, yeah, you do have that much money to make, or yeah, that record does belong to you, that property record. So the way that musicians can, to tie that into music is, you know, we're still on the cutting edge of this. So, I mean, a few of the things that have sprung up, it would be like NFTs.
Right.
So non-fungible tokens. Yeah. And basically, I mean, the simplest way to think about that is it's like kind of like having a baseball card that is, you know, a limited edition. Let's say it was autographed. Well, you can, it's the digital version of that basically.
Right.
And those NFTs can have other value. I know a lot of people are skeptical, you know, this looks like a JPEG or something, like, oh, I can copy and paste that. So what I would say to that is, you know, you can copy and paste the underlying image, but there's always going to just be one person who owns that and you can verify that. So, you know, with NFTs, it's also a new way to make a new revenue source for musicians, because like we just talked about, like, it's so hard to get value of, you can just stream a song and mm-hmm. you get paid half of a cent. Well, with NFTs, you can kind of set your own price, offer some limited edition. That's what we're doing right now.
Okay, so what are the NFTs that you're giving away?
So it's called the Angsty Skulls Club.
Yeah.
And it's an assortment of generative art. So what that is, it's basically a skull heart figure.
Uh-huh.
And they... each one of them is unique. So, you know, they have different traits. Like, you know, one might have a mustache, one may have a black hat, and one might have a gold hat, you know, just little traits like that, goggles, glasses. And so we're giving away, I think almost half of them have been claimed so far. So if you go to blackheartsaints.xyz, you can claim one. And what that does, when you claim one, you can get access to exclusive stuff like we're giving out merch discount codes, and some other things that'll come, you know, down the line.
Awesome. That's amazing. So how, I mean, is it, do people, when you, can you, you can sell somebody your NFT?
Yeah.
And can that be bought with terrestrial money, or does it have to be like cryptocurrency?
It has to be cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a little thing on the website, if you're new to that, that explains how you go about setting up that, because it's a little overwhelming. It took me, you know, a few days when I first got exposed to that, just to sit down and internalize those concepts, because it is something very,
it's very
different.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to internalize. That's a great way to describe. I can't internalize those concepts. I have a very hard time.
You just have to just sit with it, you know, and just maybe smoke some weed or do whatever you'd want to do, and just let it seep in.
Do you are you guys working on a record too, by the way?
Really just singles at the moment.
Okay.
One-off single, because that seems to be the way people, you know, you get somebody's attention through that, you know, more so than an album.
But what I notice is not just that you get somebody's attention, but that we live in a world of such a fast-moving scroll,
mm-hmm.
that if you put out a whole record, then your 10 to 14 songs get one. The real estate is the same amount as if you put out a single, so why not get that?
Exactly. And the cost is lower for us as musicians to put out, you know, one song versus 10 songs that, you know, it's just, it saves us money as well, I guess, if you think about it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So you're on the Web3. Do you, as a person that works in the internet world, this is the future, do you think?
I do. And, you know, I think recently, you know, if you're somebody who does hold cryptocurrency, you've seen like the past month or two, shit's really hit the fan as far as prices. Like, everything's tanked. But that's, you know, that's the case across the board. If you're into stocks or if you're into anything else, everything's down right now. You know, I think, you know, you have Bitcoin and then you have other coins below that, right? With everybody knows what Bitcoin is, but there's other ones like Ethereum and Solana and, you know, Near. But so, these are all different projects. Everybody's trying to compete to like really overtake Bitcoin in a way. It's like, you know, it's like competitors. But I think if you look at the underlying technology, it's here to stay and people should embrace that because it's not going to go anywhere. So if you're hesitant, this might be a good time to get in because it's it's easier to get in right now.
Wow. So wild. Like you to be in that world, do you feel like you're always kind of like explaining shit to people?
Yeah.
Like
me? Well, I mean, you gotta, you know, I think I think that it was kind of like similar to when the internet first came about, you know, if you think about how people thought about that. So,
yeah, I remember when it came about and I remember there's this in the mid 90s, this company here made a Austin Music CD-ROM that they said, like, I think Vallejo was on it and I was on it and some other people, but I just remember like those early sort of things and like, oh, is this how it's going to work? And then I remember like mp3.com and like people just getting, and you never know what's going to take or what's not, right?
You know, that's a good point too. I mean, you know, technology changes. I mean, I don't know what will be replace this next Web3, Web4 maybe, whatever that will be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's here to stay for a while, so might as well embrace it and try to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Do you guys have a booking agent?
Not at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you do all this shit.
Putting in a lot of hours every week.
Yeah, you do.
Sure. So
you really do. Do the other guys, are you the guy, like it usually take, there's usually one guy that has a proclivity to do that stuff and actually likes doing that stuff.
Yeah, we all have different talents.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we try to.
How do you divide up that stuff?
You know, we try to just, you know, we're trying to look at everybody individually and say, what can you do? What can you bring to the table? And then just go from there. So, I mean, I just have always been that guy in every band that I've been in, just because I don't know. I just have that personality for it. Mm-hmm. I guess, so.
Yeah. It's fun to not be that guy.
It is.
Every once in a while, I'll get in a band and like you're just like, oh, yeah. It's, just tell me what time I need to be there.
It's nice because that's half your job is just showing up if you are that guy. So. Yeah.
Makes it fun. All right. So you guys have played a lot of festivals and stuff. Like you, I saw you. Did you play a thing with Mudvayne or you're going to play a thing with Mudvayne?
So that's coming up. That's going to be on July 15th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we're doing, it's going to be like one of our first major rock festivals we're doing. I think, Mudvayne, Breaking Benjamin, a couple other, bigger name rock acts. We're playing Upheaval Festival.
Awesome. In,
Grand Rapids. So.
Do you find other young bands? Because, I mean, you guys are relatively, for the style of music that you play, you're young.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of those worlds, and especially in hard rock, there seems to be like a stall where there's like a gap where you have all these bands from like, you know what I mean? From like 10 years ago and then none and then a couple from now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that people's... I feel like that sort of thing has been because people's connection has changed in a way, and there's no more like boundaries to music. Like you know how like when I was a kid, you couldn't wear an Aussie shirt and then tell someone like, "Hey, have you heard the new Hall & Oates?" Because it just was like, "Whoa, like you're not cool."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And now that doesn't matter at all.
You're saying that the boundaries...
So I feel like before when there were boundaries, people kind of attached themselves to a band. They're like, they used it as their identity. Like, oh, I'm in... Like when I was a kid, like I was so into Kiss, I still have all that shit up there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I just want you guys to know this is where I stand, okay?
Sure.
I'm fucking exploding shit, dude spitting blood. Rock and roll.
Well, it's tribalism, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You'd call it exactly. That. So that seems to me, and like there was an interview... with all these people that I saw on some music show, and there was a girl, they were like, "What's your favorite music?" And she goes, "Oh, festivals." So it's like not even about, it's like, it's this weird event you get to go to that you're not like, you know, sleeping overnight in the street to get your tickets to Ozzy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the funny thing about, like, I mean, actually this year, I would say my favorite album that I've heard so far this year is actually a jazz funk album.
Right.
It's not even a rock and roll album, so you know. But,
what was that?
It's Super Blue by Kurt Elling.
Okay.
It's really like a cool little like avant-garde jazz funk sort of album with some soul influences. Definitely worth checking out if you. He's like one of those preeminent kind of jazz male vocalists. You don't really hear that a lot, like in the Sinatra vibe, but he's got more of this like soul funk edge going on. So
nice.
Definitely worth checking out.
I don't like Michael Bublé.
I've heard a lot of things about him, like that people wouldn't like about him off the stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because I thought he'd be a really nice guy. He knows how to sell it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A brand.
It's just one of those things. Yeah.
So I mean, the original question I was going to is: do you see a lot of other younger bands coming up?
Yes, I do.
In rock and roll,
I do. I think. You know, I guess the good question is, what are some of those motivations there? Because people are looking for that next great rock and roll band because, you know, they look at, you know, the Motley Crues of the world, Def Leppard, and they reached such high highs, you know, in their careers that people, I mean, there's something that people get inspired by. They want to, you know, do that. But I do see a lot of bands come up. I mean, there's some bands that are flavor of the month, some bands, it's like longevity matters, you know, I think.
What's funny, the way that people made such a big deal about Greta Van Fleet, like just such a, like there's a young band playing rock and roll. It's like, it's fucking like, there's probably six of them in this apartment complex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I live in a world where that's a thing, but like in the national sense and all that stuff, you know, it's difficult.
I think it's a cultural thing. You know, it's like rock and roll used to be dominant in the culture in the eight up until, I don't know. I mean, even the 90s, you know, grunge, guitar based, we think of guitar based music.
Yeah.
I think what happened was, you know, more recent years, the process of making music has become more accessible to people. So, you know, it used to be like, imagine, you know, Trent Reznor doing electronic music in the 90s. Well, he had to actually like do his research and like, how do I create this, these sounds? These are, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And today it's like, you could just download an app and just everybody can call themselves a musician or yeah. producer yeah. these days. So.
It's weird because some people come, like I've seen, I mean, just doing this, like I see some people that like, yeah, I just started playing music last year and they're fucking great.
Yeah.
Like you're like, wow, you really have like a, you ever really have a talent for this shit, you
yeah,
know?
And I think maybe like it's been easier to maybe learn music too because you get to look on YouTube and see how people yeah. do things and follow that around. So, yeah. Yeah.
Is Josh still doing that, the Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Do you play in that?
No, that's no. Jelly Ellington.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's good.
Phenomenal guitar player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do anything else outside of Blackheart Saints?
Not musically, really. No. I don't have time.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Does that ever piss you off? I know that there's people, like there's one person in Skyrocket that does all the work, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do this thing with this guy. She's like, man, I wish I could do that shit. I'm over here fucking writing your fucking checks, dude.
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, sometimes it's you know, it'd be nice to do like something on the side like that would be strictly for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's why we all are doing music. Just, you know, the primary goal, you know, yeah, it's career and blah, blah, but you have to have fun with it. And I'm still having fun with it. I just sometimes... You know, maybe that would be nice to have a side project that's more of a leisure thing where yeah. it's not as serious and just like you can play when you want to and it just helps you, it reminds you why you got into this in the first place.
Yeah. Did you meet Ace?
No, I did not get to talk to him. I think, I don't know if he was, he might have been kind of, I think just his age and COVID and stuff and,
It's general aceness.
Yeah, he's probably aloof in general, I feel like. I mean, he always looks a little, if you see him like in pictures of people with a VIP, he's always like, he doesn't, you kind of question if he wants to be there or not, you know, but I don't blame him. I mean, he's been doing it long enough, so.
He has. How did he sound?
Sounded pretty good. He had a good, really great band behind him. You know, some great guitar players and bassist and drummer. So yeah, solid band.
Do you listen to his solo stuff?
I've heard a little bit of it, but I haven't really dealt. I have a good friend, a mutual friend, Shandon Somm.
Oh, Shandon. He's a fucking Kiss freak, dude.
Yeah, he's the biggest. I always sent him Kiss memes or whenever thing related to Kiss, you know, he loves that stuff, so.
Yeah. One time on here, I said something about that, and that's how I ended up with all of this Kiss shit. Like people, like I've got a cereal, the cola. Somebody gave me the fucking rubber duckies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
There's something about being a Kiss fan.
It's, yeah. That's.
Are you?
You know, I didn't really grow up as a Kiss fan. I mean, I think my dad was like a little bit into it, but he was never like hardcore into it. So
I guess you did have to be there. You can't just like look at that now without thinking it looks kind of dopey, you know?
Well, I mean, they have some, yeah, I mean, I definitely a remarkable career for sure.
Like, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what other festivals, like you guys did that Sturgis thing?
Yeah.
Was that, I remember when that was happening, wasn't that when it was kind of like I can't believe you're going to go play during this thing? Didn't you guys play during that? Because I remember there was a bunch of controversy about Sturgis, but I don't remember anybody being like, fuck Blackheart Saints, we're going to cancel them.
Well, you know what?
They played a gig.
Yeah, you know, and I'm definitely open to talking about all this, but because I think things have cooled off a little bit. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, social media in 2020 in the summer when that was happening. Dude. Oh man, it was just everybody lost their minds and just had to like stay off of there. And we went and played. I mean, we looked at it as an opportunity that, you know, like, okay, we're just going to go up there and play that show and people, there was the demand for a band to play and, you know, we have to make money. We got to pay bills. You got to weigh those costs out. You know, you have some people who tell you, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. And some people, I mean, we just kind of, you know, we wanted to survive and we were getting stir crazy in our houses, you know, not being able to, you know, do what we love to do. And, you know, it was a place in that time, South Dakota or Sturgis, where not that I, you know, align myself politically with that. You don't necessarily even have to do that to participate in it, but
yeah.
It just was a celebration of music and you know, motorcycle culture, if you're into that or whatever. And yeah, we played during the pandemic. I mean, we did it.
I don't think that's bad, man. You know, I mean, you know, the one thing about it, like, mm-hmm. this is the one thing I'll say, is that the drummer of Skyrocket was just kind of going and playing these, people are having these weird parties out in the middle of nowhere and having tons of people, right? So they brought him out there and he played, and we had a private live stream show that we were doing, like a corporate thing that they still want to do. So we went to One-to-One Bar because they had their whole thing set up, and we were all around him. And the next day he was like, oh guys, I'm so sorry. So that was the one thing about it. That's the only time I'd be like, well, if you're gonna come and like give me this shit, you know. And he didn't, I mean, you know, everyone was so weird about talking. He didn't really talk about it until like, well, I was playing these gigs. It's like, you're what? Like, why didn't you say anything?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff was weird. But he wasn't being an asshole and not telling us. He was like, I got to fucking play. Like, I've got a kid in fucking college. I've got a wife. I got a fucking house and a mortgage.
Yeah, you got to weigh that stuff out. And we all, you know, we got tested after that. I mean, we did that. You know, that was kind of like the compromise. Okay, I'll go get tested before I come back home. And I think at that time, people were kind of still uncertain about it. I mean, it was kind of, I don't know if, you know, I'm trying to think back in that time period. But
it was very intense. I mean, it's funny that you say that because everything was, you know, everything was so intense. Like the race stuff just went through the roof. And like, in some ways, I feel like that was a great thing because it opened a conversation in a way it had never been opened up before.
Sure.
And I feel like some stuff kind of did move the needle and stuff kind of changed.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was that involved too.
The political thing.
It was just chaos, you know, and we all experienced personal stuff, you know, and it just, it was one of those things that, like, I'm glad we are finally, you know, out of this, you know, it feels like. I don't think any of us is just going to accept, you know, the mask mandates again and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that whole thing, man. And then also, like, I feel bad for all those. Like the CDC has been so vilified when they were trying to just figure out what that thing was. Cause then people, then they look stupid and people stop trusting them because like, oh, what do you mean? I've been wiping down my fucking groceries with bleach for a month and a half and I didn't have to. Like, now you're telling me I have to wear a mask. So what, you're going to come up in 2 months and say I don't have to? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get the public trust when you're.
Well, definitely. And then it's just the whole vaccination thing. And, you know, I think that was a lot more intense than it has been more recently. I feel like that's kind of died down as far as the debate. And it's goes back to tribalism, it seems like.
Yeah, totally.
This is the people who take COVID very religiously, seriously. And then these people just don't care at all. And, you know, I think there's a nuance somewhere.
And the extremes of both. Everybody was being a dick.
Yeah, totally.
Like, everybody was being a dick. Like,
totally.
The super, masky and the super unmasky, the furthest out were just being fucking assholes about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, at the same time, you know, like, if you're going to walk down the street with a mask, that's fine. Go do that. I mean, but, you know, I might be thinking one thing in my mind if I see somebody who's a young person with a mask outside. I mean, I still see that here and there. But you know, I mean, I don't relate to either one of those extreme sides. I think there's something in the middle. We can be reasonable. You know, you have some people spraying down their I remember people spraying their groceries. Remember that?
Dude, I was fucking wiping them down. I had this whole thing.
I would
even change my gloves after I touched the thing and then put a different glove. And then I mean, I was fucking scared.
I was for the first month. I went to Target with a, you know, mask and gloves, and I was, you know, just all into that. But
yeah.
As time progressed, I mean, you know, we got the data in and we kind of, you can make your own risk assessment.
Yes.
Eventually.
Did you ever get it?
I did.
Me
too. Yeah. Just once. So, I mean, it was, you know, I think if you think of the symptom, I think it lasted about 8 days. And I think that at the peak of it, there was just one day where everything just tasted rotten to me. Like I craved like really shitty fast food.
Okay.
You know, I had to throw out everything that was fresh. Right. But
yeah, I got it in August, so I guess I had the Delta.
That's previous August?
Last August, 2021.
Okay. Yeah, that would probably be Delta then, I think. Yeah.
It was a girl I was going out with that gave it to me.
Oh.
It wasn't like as I started playing shows.
Yeah.
And I remember that we booked these shows at 310, Skyrocket did.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, first one sold out in the first day. Second one sold out a week later. It's fucking awesome.
Well, I hope that's the only thing she gave to you, that just the COVID.
That is. Thank you. Thank God. when we went to go play the 310 shows, the first night, it was sold out. 60% of the people showed up. And then the second night, it was that we played the same weekend that Jason Isbell did.
Oh, okay.
Isbell was playing upstairs and we were playing. So that whole thing was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like on CNN and shit. Like, oh, because that was the gig where like 2 days before he was like, you got to provide, you know, whatever.
Your everything. Your all your medical records.
Yeah. And that kind of shit. Like yeah. Doing it, springing on people 2 days before, telling them when they're, before they buy the ticket, hey, before you buy this ticket, let me let you know, this is how we're going to do this shit. And then you could be like, oh, I don't want to do that. But like, you buy the ticket, you're excited to go. And then they're like, hey, look, man, you can't come unless you do the things that we want. And the vaccine card, I get it. And I got the vaccine. I believe in it. Yeah, people don't. That's fine, too. But like, going and presenting a vaccine card is not like presenting a COVID test thing. Like, you could very well have COVID flying out your fucking ears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the madness came into play because, yeah, I mean, just because you're vaccinated, I mean, we found out that, yeah, you can still get COVID and spread it. So if you're going to be logical in this and you really are cautious, just at least just test everybody, you know, or whatever. I went to an event in Vegas back in November, and they made everybody get tested, whether you were vaccinated or not. And, you know, and you had to wait an hour, but then on the other side of that, there was free food and free drinks. So I was like, okay, I signed me up. So
hell yeah. Yeah. Crazy. I was there in January. That's a weird place during a pandemic.
It is. Well, so if you were there this January, then you were there right after the restrictions were lifted then,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because they went away in December, I think, or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It was just, it was odd because you'd been so used to not being around that many people kind of like just brushing up against you and everything. Mm-hmm. Like it was odd. Well,
going there, when I went there, it's like odd coming from Texas because I felt like the pandemic was still in enforcements were still in full effect in November. Everybody's, you know, you had to wear a mask in the casinos up until that point.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, in November. And, you know, being in Texas, you know, I think since, you know, several months before that, we kind of repealed all those mandates. So it's an interesting experience.
Yeah, but it is interesting. Do you guys play in Vegas?
We have played once. We played there on a Monday night to maybe like, you know, less than 10 people, but it's one of those things. You yeah. Know? So, yeah.
Isn't it weird when you go there and you go play a club like in like a part that has like clubs and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that Vegas had like regular stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We played it at like a dive bar in Vegas. Yeah. That was, you know, obviously offside of the strip. And
yeah.
It was cool to see that side of it because, you know, I'm always, you know, seem to be at the strip when I go to Vegas, but there's a lot of sides to check out of that city, you know?
Totally.
So, yeah.
I bet you guys do well in the Midwest, don't you? It's so rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We play, we're going to go play Indiana and Michigan first show in like the Detroit area that we have coming up as well. We also have a show in Nashville area too. So kind of like the, you know, mid, I guess you got the Mid-South and Midwest. So
nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever played Nashville before?
Just once. Yeah. Yep.
That place is like, I'm fascinated with that town because I have friends that live there and there's like that East Nashville scene, which is like Austin or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not part of like the Music Row kind of stuff, but there's like some, have you ever heard the band Bully?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's an awesome fucking band. They were on the show like years ago, but they were like this, to me, they were like the quintessential, like just Nashville indie fucking rock band.
Check them out. Bully.
Awesome. Bully.
Yeah, Bully.
Yep.
Okay.
I think they got signed to like Atlantic or something like that.
Nice.
Are you guys ever actively looking for a deal, or is that like, what does a deal even offer now?
I mean, yeah, I would say I've always been open-minded to whatever, you know, to any deal, basically, to at least entertain or have a look at it. I'm not going to be closed-minded and say, you know, fuck the record labels, fuck this. I mean, anything is, you know, come to me with something decent and let's talk. I think that's a reasonable thing to, you know, to be in that mindset, I guess.
Yeah. I saw this show on YouTube that's put on by this guy that has a label, and it has like, it's like a American Idol kind of whatever format. Mm-hmm. And the judges are like the guy from Bush and Alice Cooper and a couple of other people. And most of the bands are rock bands. They do it at the Troubadour. And then I don't know. I started watching it. I was really into it. But I was wondering about that. Like the way that they're talking about these bands, like there's, you know, music business people, and they're mm-hmm. talking about it like it's, you know, like it's still happening, which is a good feeling. Like, oh, rock and roll people are still getting signed. And they're like, oh, we can break you in these markets and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. It definitely takes money to make money, though, too, in this. And, like, when you're launching a band, you know, how do you get on people's radars? Well, a lot of times if you can go on the road with somebody big, like a bigger band. But mm-hmm. then again, the other side of that business is there's a lot of people wanting you to buy on to tours, you know? I mean, we've been seeing that. And, like, that people want, like, this ridiculous amount of money to actually go and pay somebody to join a tour.
Oh yeah,
and we're sitting there like, oh, we're actually making this amount of money, and you know, doing our thing on our own. Why would we pay?
Yeah,
and go into debt over that. So
when I was in Gowdy, we got an offer like that, mm-hmm. and our record label really wanted us to take it, and it was to play 5 shows at $10,000 a show.
Oh wow,
from us,
wow,
to give to Stone Temple Pilots to be the first band of I think 4 maybe of the bill.
Yeah.
And your set time was like 5 minutes after doors opened. So yeah, you are playing like the Irwin Center, but like, well,
half of that
there's
money,
like 3 people are coming
in. Yeah. And then half of that money would probably go up Scott Weiland's nose too.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Rest in peace.
Exactly.
Great
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it's true. But that sort of thing, I remember being so offended and just being like, wait, we for $50,000, like we could tour for like fucking 6 months like,
yeah.
in our van, just do it. Like, are you crazy? We're going to play 5 shows that no one that was there was going to see, so that you guys can sell us better because we opened for Stone Temple Pilots, even though that no one witnessed it happening.
Yeah, it's really disheartening, because it's like, how do you make the money in that? And then it actually allows a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of rich kid bands come up too yeah. more recently, and you know, daddy's a big, you know, attorney or accountant yeah. or whatever, and they can buy on to tours, and they can, you know, put their names on buses and stuff, and like they have their whole. You know, they can show up in a better, bigger RV than
yeah.
the headliner
yeah.
because somebody has money. So,
yeah. You know, I do. I've always had like a thing with rich kid bands, mm-hmm. just like, fuck those guys, man.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? But also like, you know, we wouldn't have Radiohead and like Pink Floyd and like.
Yeah.
And it's funny because their music is so like, they have the money to sit back and like, even from the beginning, like, oh, we just do shit that whatever we want, not like trying to make, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So how's Josh? I know his dad passed away. That was a while back.
That was,
it?
Yeah, that was a couple, I think it was 2019. Yeah.
I'm not laughing because I'm just laughing at how time has been so weird, because I'm like, hey, his dad died like a couple months ago. Like,
yeah.
No, that was like, before the thing happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, you know, I haven't seen you really. I mean, I saw you when we went to that or that event that during South By, but before that, I know we haven't
That's right.
seen each other in like 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, things to catch up on. So it's crazy. But
what, the at the Native Hostel?
Yeah, yeah, in March. Yeah.
I got a terrible cold the next day.
Oh,
wow. And I was like, oh shit. Cause I was hugging everybody. Like I hugged the shit out of you. I was like, fucking.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, like when I woke up and I was feeling bad, I could still taste stuff. So I was like, I'm all right. And you can still have a cold. Like I remember going to the doctor last year,
mm-hmm.
Like the week before I got COVID, I thought I had it cause I had a terrible cold. And like, I went to the doctor again. And finally he was like, dude, there are still colds. Like you don't have
yeah.
COVID. Like
yeah.
you can still have a cold. Like everything isn't COVID. Like,
that's yeah, you forget about that sometimes.
Yeah, well the next week I emailed him. I got it now, buddy.
Yeah.
but I didn't feel as bad as when I had those colds. But anyway, I did get a terrible cold. Mm-hmm. And I did hug probably in the 3 days that I went and did shit, I probably hugged like 180 people.
Oh wow.
Well, you just haven't seen yeah. anybody. Like last sure, night yeah. we did this thing at Antone's and it was like, it, you know Zach Loy?
That sounds familiar. Sounds like a familiar name.
He plays guitar with Live. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, yeah.
But he used to live here and played in a bunch of bands. He just got like all of his favorite bands to come play his birthday and raise money for our friend, you know, Casey McPherson?
Yeah.
The Alpha Rep guy for his daughter, her foundation.
Okay.
And that was the same thing. Like I got home last night and I was like, I really didn't exercise any kind of like COVID. I didn't even think about it when I was there. Like I didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, that means we're returning back to life.
And normal.
Normal life. And, you know, you can only put up with so much anxiety as a fucking human being. And, as you know, stressful as life is, we got to just kind of like, you know.
I didn't have a great reprieve in 2020. My grandma, like, she was going fucking crazy. You know, she's old and she's like, you know, I'm in my 90s. I'm going to go soon. I'm not going to, all I do is sit in my house and fucking watch TV. It sucks.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to get a beach house, like, on the beach in Galveston. And for a month, and whoever wants to come live with me, come. And so I moved. Me and my cousin Emily like moved in, like
wow, yeah,
for a month, and just like lived at the beach, and that was just fucking great.
That sounds amazing. Like just probably a change of scenery for sure for you. Yeah. And like you know, it's like,
well, dude, I mean, all I was just I didn't even have fucking Rosie. I was just like here, and my dog died and shit. My other dog. So it was like. I was starting to go nuts. Yeah. I mean, did you start going nuts like when you were by yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it was just something that, you know, cause you know, some people, you know, I was in relationship at the time at the beginning of that. And, you know, I didn't take it as, seriously as she did. And, you know, you'd get like, you know, you're going to bring this home when I'm going to bring it home.
That's what it was over. Or that
I mean, that's yeah. I mean, it's being a part of those things that creep in there, and it's hard to maintain. I mean, some people are different when they're opposites with how they would want to, you know, respond to those things. But you know, I mean, but it is what it is. We've had enough time, you know, like to heal in all the ways possible. Yeah. You know, personally, professionally. I mean, I'm optimistic about the future now. I think it's going to be, you know, I'm looking forward to what's around the corner. So
me too, man.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. Blackheart Saints, your song. Oh, I'm gonna have to put this out. I think after don't you guys have a premiere of this video?
So it's gonna come out on Wednesday,
the 22nd.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can talk about when it's gonna come out or this podcast and after.
Okay. Cool.
We don't have to bore I don't have to bore the people.
Right on.
Ed, you guys are gonna be on tour this summer. People can check you out Midwest.
Yeah.
Would you call it the Mid-South?
Mid-South. I think, like, what is Tennessee and...
I think Tennessee's the Deep South.
The Deep South?
Yeah.
When I hear the Deep South, I think, like, Alabama. Like, the heart of Alabama.
That's pretty, pretty...
Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
And everybody in the band's doing good?
Everybody's doing well, yeah. Yeah. It was great, yeah.
How did you guys... did you guys keep, like, a constant sort of dialogue going especially at the beginning when everything just stopped? Is that when you were like, okay, I'm gonna start doing this the BHS
TV thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just we tried to communicate as much as we could and figure stuff out, and we still were able to get to the studio and do that. And you know, it's disappointing because we had to cancel a tour that was going to happen in April 2020, like a lot of other people. But you know, the positive thing is there was some good support from all around. You know, there was some great grants that we were able to take advantage of and then, you know, some of the guys were on unemployment, and that helped at the time, because that paid, you know, more than what some people would make in their regular job.
It didn't change your work thing.
No, it didn't. Like,
because you've always worked from home, right?
Yeah. So, you know, still work through that whole thing.
Do you work for somebody, or do you just...
I'm freelance.
Freelance.
So I'm just every project to project. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's overwhelmingly busy and I want to just scream. But
yeah, dude. Dude, I'm glad we're friends, man. I've always liked you.
I think
you're so fucking talented and just so, like, together business-wise, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. I try to come off that way. I don't necessarily always feel that way, but
the proof is in the pudding. I mean, look at what your band has been able to do that you guys have just done yourselves. I mean,
I mean, it's definitely, you know, anybody out there, you just got to put in the time, you know, like, I mean, it's a labor of love, you know? I mean, I log like maybe 20 hours a week. That's, I don't get any paid any extra to do that. It just,
right,
you have to do the things. Yeah. You have to respond to the emails, do the weekly tasks, whatever those will be.
You got to really want to do it.
Mm-hmm. You do.
You got to really love that fucking hour on stage.
Oh, man. Because booking, yeah. If you ever do like booking, that's
humiliating.
Like, oh, man. I mean, with booking, you know, you can send 100 emails and maybe you'll get five, you know, to 10 back at most, you know, the of actual things. So it's a lot. It's an uphill thing. So,
but if things have gotten easier, I mean, you guys, yeah, I mean, you guys get invited to stuff too a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it's
at this point?
Here and there. Yeah, it's, but it's still, I feel like it's still, my opinion still requires a constant kind of effort, to be present and make sure you are somehow considered for things. You know, how do you do that without, you know, without being annoying to somebody? You want to be top of mind in some way, you know, or like be in part of the conversation. So how do you do that artfully, I guess? So,
yeah. See, that's the thing that you think about that other people know. Like some people don't think about annoying them. Like the doing it artfully is a very good way to say it, because a lot of people don't. They think like, oh, I've got my hustle. I'm just going to beat this guy down until he avoids me all the time, you know?
Well, yeah, there's definitely some nuances with that. And then, yeah, man, that'd be a great talk actually for a panel, you know, to talk to other people about that. So,
yeah, I'm going to tell those guys, because I think, you know, there's a lot of other people that make a lot of noise here, like that squeaky wheels, mm-hmm. that aren't doing a quarter of what you guys are doing, that are getting those opportunities because they're so loud about what they think they can do.
Yeah.
But you guys just are actually just out there quietly touring, getting on Billboard. I mean,
trying.
It's fucking insane. Yeah.
Everything. So
if you hear from Billy Squire's manager, I hope that Billy likes the song.
I do too. I mean, but yeah, like you said, I'm not going to hold my breath on it. Well, you know, that's what we have, compulsory licenses. So we're going to do it whether he likes it or not.
That's right. People get out there and check out Lonely is the Night. What a great song. Produced by Omar Vallejo. Do you know when other stuff is coming?
That's
like, look out for
up in the air right now. Okay. We're still kind of trying to figure out what's next. So,
all right. Well, keep on going and keep on growing, Mark. It's always an inspiration. Also, thank you for the Jesse James bourbon.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
You're a good dude.
Thank you, man.
Jackal.
Rock and roll me, jackal me off.
Gang, that was Mark Sean from Blackheart Saints. Their single, Lonely is the Night, the cover of the Billy Squire song, is out now, along with a video directed by Taylor Fredericks. Check it out. Fantastic. Go to blackheartsaintsmusic.com. And if you want to get involved in Web3 and get a free limited edition NFT, go to blackheartsaints.xyz. But if you're just dealing with apps on your phone and stuff, and you're going to find them on Spotify, you can also subscribe to How Did I Get Here and follow How Did I Get Here on Spotify, Apple Music, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday, sometimes even more. All right? So while you're out there checking out Lonely is the Night by the great Blackheart Saints, don't forget to check out How Did I Get Here. Subscribe to us and get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.